It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 20, the third commandment of the Ten Commandments, verse number 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This is the law against profanity, the profane use of God's name. This is the law against blasphemy, speaking ill of God's name, the law against the vain use of his name, or the empty use of his name, the idle use of his name. This is the law against mischaracterizing his name. This is the law against misrepresenting his name. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 36 through number 37, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This is the third commandment of the Ten Commandments, the law against misusing, the vain use or blasphemy, the profanity or the profane use of his name. This law protects the use of God's name. God's name has meaning behind it. God's name has purpose behind it. It has a context. There's a connotation that goes with using God's name. When we hear the name of God, we should think of Creator. When we hear the name of God, we should think of Supreme Being, Almighty God, All-Powerful God, a God of love and a God of life, a merciful God, a kind God, a loving God, a tender God whose compassions faileth not. Names mean something in society. Names have a context to them. Names have a connotation to them. When we hear the name Jezebel in the scriptures, that name has a meaning of a woman with a bad reputation. There is a negative context to that name. When we hear the name Abraham Lincoln, and we think about that name tends to bring about honesty in our thoughts, perseverance in our thoughts, as he was one of the greatest presidents of all time. When we hear the name Adolf Hitler, something comes to mind, mass murderer, persecutor of the Jews, an exterminator of the Jewish race. It has a negative connotation to it, a bad connotation to it. So names have a certain meaning. Names have a certain reputation, if you will. Names have a certain context, if you will. And God's name has a meaning and a purpose and a context that the scriptures and God himself wants to protect. And he uses this third commandment to do that. Let's look at some points here that can help us bring this into today's understanding. Point number one, God's name is set apart. Point number one, God's name is set apart. The scriptures teach in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, hallowed be thy name. Name. This means set apart. Hallowed means holy. Hallowed means sanctified. Hallowed means set apart. Set apart for a divine purpose. Set apart for a divine use. For example, we are set apart as Christians, as believers, as the children of God born again in Jesus Christ. We are now set apart. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. We have been set apart. Same thing for God's name. It's set apart. Hallowed is Thy name. The scriptures teach in Psalm 111, holy and reverend is Thy name. Holy, sanctified is Thy name. Reverend, honor and respect is that name. When we hear that name, there should be a certain honor and respect that comes with hearing and speaking the name of God. Why? Because it represents an almighty God, an all-powerful God, a loving God, kind God, the creator of the universe. Scriptures teach in Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. His name is due glory. God is due His glory. We magnify His name. We glorify His name. We exalt His name. And we extol His name. So much so that in the book of Revelation chapter 4, God has created living creatures whose sole purpose throughout eternity is to bow down in holy reverence and repeat, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Throughout eternity, without ceasing, the Bible says, they rest not day and night, but they recite continually and constantly and consistently, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Why is that so? Because God is a God of such praise that's due to Him. Inexhaustible praise that's due to Him. Such a majestic God, a mighty God, awesome God, that He had to create living creatures for the sole purpose to just give Him the praise. Jesus said, if you don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, Thou hast perfected praise. God is due the praise. Why? Because He's worthy to be praised. His name is above all names, and His name is set apart. His name is not to be associated, therefore, with profanity. His name is not to be associated, therefore, with blasphemy. Blasphemy, the evil speaking of His name, or the evil use of His name. His name is therefore not to be used with vain use or empty use. His name is not to be used in terms of mischaracterizing His name or misrepresenting His name. His name has a sole purpose to identify God as God and to represent who He really is, to have a meaning behind His name, a context behind the name, a connotation behind the name. Point number two, Jesus' name is set apart. Jesus' name is set apart. The scriptures teach in Matthew chapter 1, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus Christ means salvation. God is Savior. Jesus is Savior. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus Christ's name is set apart with a purpose. It's set apart with a meaning, a context, a connotation. When we think of the name Jesus, we are to associate it, therefore, with salvation, with life, with forgiveness, with deliverance, with sanctification. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. We ought to associate His name with salvation, for the scriptures teach, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We ought to associate His name with justification, which means being declared not guilty. We ought to associate His name with sanctification, which means to be cleansed from within. We ought to associate His name with forgiveness, For the scriptures teach, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ's name has a meaning behind it, has a purpose behind it, has a connotation behind it, has a context behind it. We use the name of Jesus in prayer. It's our power of attorney. It's our authority here on earth. We use the name of Jesus in casting out of demons. We use the name of Jesus in terms of relationship. Jesus Christ's name has a connotation to it. It has a context, a meaning, a purpose. And we are not to use his name in profanity. We are not to use his name in blasphemy. We are not to use his name in any mischaracterizations or misrepresentations. Jesus' name is set apart. Point number three, this particular law, the third commandment, also protects against false prophecies. It protects against false prophecies. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 13, verse 2, there is an admonition for the false prophets. The scriptures say, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts. Against the ones that prophesy out of their own hearts. In other words, when an individual in the church or even outside the church speaks on behalf of God with a prophecy, that prophecy must come to pass. For God does not make mistakes. God does not make error. God is truth. God is absolute light. In him is no darkness at all, the Psalms teach. Therefore, if someone is going to prophesy on behalf of God, that prophecy must come to pass. Otherwise, like in the old time church, we would not call that prophesying, we would call that prophelying. If an individual is in error and they are not speaking a true prophecy that comes to pass in its entirety and fullness according to what they speak and prophesy, then that means that they are prophelying and not prophesying. This particular commandment and other scriptures protects us to know that if someone is going to prophesy, it must come to pass. The scriptures teach in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So when someone preaches, when someone teaches, when someone prophesies, it must be according to scripture. It must be according to God's word. Why? Because they are not speaking of their word, they're speaking God's word. They are not to preach, teach, or prophesy opinion. They are not to teach, preach, or prophesy tradition. They are not to preach, teach, or prophesy out of their own hearts. They are to preach, teach, and prophesy the oracles of God. Comfort, the scriptures, encouragement, loving rebukes, strong admonitions, things of this nature, the bitter and the sweet, things that come to pass according to God's word. This is the scripture that protects us, the particular commandment that protects us against false prophecies. Point number four, this particular commandment protects the misuse of his name, and it also protects the integrity of our use of his name. It protects the misuse of his name, and it protects the integrity of us using his name. For example, in the book of James, chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Sometimes individuals have a tendency to fall into the trap of speaking often as if God said this, or the Father said this. They begin to preface their sayings and qualify their statements with, the Father said such and such, or God said such and such. Sometimes we ought to just let our yea be yea and nay be nay. If we have something to say, then the word of our bond and our own integrity should allow us to speak and be heard and be recognized as speaking the truth. We have no need to qualify our statements with "the Father said" or "God said." We should qualify our statements with scripture that backs up our words, letting our yea be yea and our nay be nay. This particular commandment protects the use and the misuse of using his name in the wrong context, trying to qualify statements that are not of God just to get people to hear what we're saying. In other words, some individuals, although they may not be heard otherwise, know that they'll be heard if they qualify their statement by saying, "God said this," or "the Father said this." And instead of qualifying these statements, we need to let our yea be yea and nay be nay. Speak the truth and let people hear us, and let the word be our bond. Let us be people of integrity, that what we say, people will listen and hear that they are the words of God. Point number 5. This particular commandment protects us from misrepresenting God's name. For example, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." If an individual is born again, if they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if they call themselves Christians, then the scriptures say they should depart from iniquity. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Departing from iniquity. Yes, there is a time for discipleship where a person is growing in the grace of God, no longer learning how to be an early Christian, but becoming mature in Christ. At the same time, we are departing from iniquity. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruits." We are beginning to produce fruit in our life as Christians, the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance or self-control. We are beginning to depart from iniquity and producing the fruit of the Spirit, where people can begin to see that if we call ourselves Christians, our life backs it up. We are living the life as a Christian. We are departing from iniquity. We are doing the things that Christ would have us to do, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We are doing the things we're called to do as Christians, husbands, loving our wives as Christ loved the church. We are now living the life as a Christian. We are becoming salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are doing the things that Christ would have us to do as Christians. We are forgiving 70 times 7. We are now doing the things that Christians should do, honoring our father and our mother. These are the things that are bear evidence that we are Christians, and not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. The Bible says, "Be ye not just hearers of the word, but be ye doers of the word." We are letting our life back up that we are now Christians. We're no longer doing the things that we used to do before we got saved, before we gave our life to Christ. No longer living in fornication or adultery. No longer living in lying or stealing or coveting or anger or malice. Now we're producing fruit, being led by the Spirit with the love of God in our heart. We are living a life that's pleasing to God. We are bearing fruit. We are naming the name of Christ, and we are departing from iniquity. No longer are we misrepresenting God's name. If we call ourselves Christians, if we say we know God, if we say we love God, then our life is backing it up. Our life is evident that we belong to Jesus Christ. So we see here on today that this particular commandment, the third commandment, is a law against profanity, the law against blasphemy, mischaracterizing, misrepresenting God's name. It protects the use of God's name. God's name has meaning behind it. When we think of God's name, we think of Creator, Supreme Being, Almighty God, All-Powerful God. This name is not associated with anything in terms of cursing or profanity or blasphemy. The Scriptures teach, hallowed be thy name. God's name is set apart. Holy and reverend is thy name. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. And the second point we learned is that Jesus' name is set apart. Jesus' name means salvation. God is salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. His name is associated with life. His name is associated with deliverance, with forgiveness, with sanctification, with reconciliation, with love, and with everlasting life. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name is not to be associated with profanity or blasphemy. His name is to have a certain context that's set apart as holy and righteous and perfect and true. And number three, we learn that this particular commandment protects us against false prophecies. Individuals that will speak on behalf of God and not speak the truth. If anyone prophesies, then their prophecy must come to pass 100% in its entirety. They must not speak out of their own heart or speak out of tradition or opinion. They must speak as the Scriptures teach, as the oracles of God. They must speak as if God is speaking. Why? For we are speaking not our words, but God's words. We are echoing the Scriptures and the principles found in God's word. And number four, this protects the misuse of his name and also protects the integrity of our use of his name in terms of us trying to qualify our statements with the Father said or God said. Yes, it's good to let people know that God has said these things, to let people know that the Father speaks through his word. But when it comes to our own words, when it comes to us speaking the word of God and speaking truth, our yea should be yea, and our nay should be nay. And when individuals speak, they should speak truth and integrity. So when they're heard, there's no need to qualify their statements for people to really listen to them. What they can speak is truth, and they will have the reputation of knowing that when they speak, people are listening, even without the qualifying statements of God said this and the Father said this. Individuals will hear and listen that when we speak, they know that we are people of integrity, people of truth and character, and they will listen to the words that we speak. And finally, point number five. We learned that a person can misrepresent God's name by not living the life as a Christian. If a person calls himself a Christian, if a person says, I know God, then their life should be evident of what they say. They should begin to do the things that Christians do, which is love their neighbor as they love themselves, which is praying for their enemies, which is turning the other cheek, which is loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, which is no longer doing the things we used to do. That's the life of Christ. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. The Bible says that many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me today. Pray with me the prayer of salvation or the prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and repeat after me this prayer, for this prayer will change your life. Repeat after me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.